Dear friends in Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. Thus begins our reading from Matthew chapter 1. Thus begins Matthew's account of Christmas. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. I don't think I've ever seen a children's Christmas program based solely on Matthew's version of the Christmas story. Probably for a couple of reasons. Luke usually gets most of the honor there. First of all, Matthew doesn't give us many parts. You've got a solitary angel, and you've got Joseph, and you've got a whole bunch of children with no lines. Probably a more significant reason, however, is the subject matter. What Sunday school director wants to spend Advent answering preschool questions about quiet divorces and conceptions and coming together? So Matthew doesn't get much play with the children, and that's okay. Luke can have his pageants. Matthew gives us the adult version of the Christmas story. And actually, it's kind of fitting for us, since first of all, there's many adults here, but also, this is perhaps the most masculine congregation there is in Synod. And that's appropriate for Matthew's version of the gospel, because Matthew gives us the man's perspective. Matthew tells us about Joseph, a good man. The kind of man you want your sister to marry. He's an honorable man, a thoughtful man, obedient, yes, and caring. Matthew even calls him righteous. Joseph is a good man. We need more men like Joseph. But as Matthew tells the Christmas story, as he begins, this is how Jesus was born. He tells us about a good man who found himself in a very bad situation. Now, we know the story so well, it's hard for us perhaps to empathize with Joseph. We know how it all happened. We know how it all worked out after the angel came to Joseph. But try, if you can, imagine what it was like for Joseph just for a moment, the time between he found out about Mary being great with child and before the angel appeared to him in a dream. His wife, and it was basically that legal, his wife was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. He was a good man, but he couldn't just look the other way. But neither could he subject Mary to the consequences. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. There was a good man with only bad options. I look out here this morning and I see a lot of good men. It's okay, we can admit it. Just a couple weeks ago, my wife was writing our Christmas card that we're sending around to our family and friends, and she asked me to share a couple of thoughts, a couple of first impressions about teaching here at the seminary. And I'll be really honest, the very first thing that came to mind when she asked me to share some impressions was the high caliber of the men in this place. Maybe it's just because I came from a small congregation where there weren't many faithful men, especially when I first got there. I mean, you guys aren't perfect, but you study hard for the most part, and you're teachable, you're willing to learn, and you clearly love the Lord, and you care about his people. That's why you're here. There's a lot of good men in this place, and it's not just you students. One of the great joys I've found is to get to know members of the faculty and the staff who are good men and good women. honorable and thoughtful and dedicated. You might even call this whole assembly here righteous. Coram hominibus, of course. Good men. And that's really important because the church needs good men. The world needs good men. And yet good men and good women, we've all experienced situations where there are only bad options. For those of you who are going out to be pastors, you'll experience this in your administrative role as parish pastor. You'll get a taste of that, but you're already experiencing it here and now. For instance, you've already spent far too much time away from your family studying and working, and yet you've still got more to do. So which is it going to be? Are you going to neglect your studies or are you going to neglect your family? Only bad options. Christmas is coming up. Most of us will be going home. We'll be getting together with extended family and we'll be spending time together, too much time too close with people in our families. And so many of us will have people in our families that are antagonistic toward everything we believe. Now, you've had these conversations before at previous Christmases and you know how they go. But how can you stay silent? So here's your options. Are you going to make it uncomfortable for everyone again this Christmas? Or are you going to keep the peace and keep your mouth shut? Then there's the gifts. You don't want to cave in to the consumer and the consumption culture in our country. And besides, you're up to your eyeballs in debt anyhow. But it's Christmas, right? Life in this world, even for good men and good women, maybe especially for good men and good women, often offers us only bad options. Now, in Joseph's case, God himself intervened in a pretty remarkable way. He was kind of doing something special with Joseph and Mary. So he sends his angel, the angel of the Lord, he sends to Joseph to change his plan and to speak a very clear command. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Take your wife, name the kid. And Joseph, being a good man, does what he is told. He takes his wife. I'd imagine he still was a little bit afraid. But he names the boy. And the boy grows into a man, a good man, if there ever was one. And this good man, this boy named by Joseph, his adopted father, this good man takes upon himself the very worst possible option there is. Not out of compulsion, but out of compassion. To save his people from their sins, to save even the good ones. Like those who are gathered here today. God, in his mercy, saves us even as he saved Joseph, and he sends us even as he sent Joseph. God sends us in Joseph's footsteps to name the one who saves us. God sends us to name the one who saves us from our sin, to name the one who comes to save all people from all sins. And so we name him day in and day out in what we think and say and do. We name him in the dorms and we name him in the woods. We name him in the quad, and we name him on the court. We name him around the dinner table, and we name him around his own table. We name him before a twisted and crooked generation. We name him, we continue to name him to the former generation, and we prepare to name him to the next generation. We name him who puts his saving name on us, for that is our calling as his people. That is our privilege. That is our preparation in this season of expecting him. You shall call his name Jesus, the angel told Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.